On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Brian is dripping down wet, full suit on. So what do? I take off my jacket and I put it over the child's head. So now I've covered my little baby with a jacket in the store.
Jacket.
Yes, the wet jacket in the store. The baby's crying because now she's got a jacket over her head. She can't see what's going on. I'm standing at the front of the store.
Why did you put the jacket over
I don't know. Her head? I thought, I don't want anybody to see her wet. I have video of this. I swear to God, it's true.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my best friend and the co-host of this incredibly dumb podcast, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. I was just about to tell the girls here in studio that I avoided yet another plumbing disaster here at the house. The tub was not draining in my house. And I was getting concerned about this. It was like draining slower and slower.
I know what the reason is.
Yeah, okay. All right, but maybe you don't. It's probably adjunct, but I don't think you know the exact reason.
Okay.
So the girls like to take baths. They're smaller, and the girls love the bath time. I mean, the boys do too, but I tell the boys, I say, you really got to take a shower because you're sitting in your own stink in a bath, essentially. And kids get really dirty. So
yeah.
My germophobic nature, I'm passing it along to my children. I'm passing all my anxieties along to my children. I'm keeping therapists in business, okay? So I tell my guys, I say, hey, get in the shower, wash that dirty ass of yours, wash your ping pang and your ching chang, and let's get it all done. And then the girls, they take baths because they refuse to get in the shower unless I drag them in there. So I think to myself, well, there must be a clog down in the drain because when I'm going to wash their hair and, you know, I start the water again, it just fills up. It's draining slower than it fills up. And so I'm getting concerned that, you know, something's going on down there. But now I'm very concerned about all the plumbing. So I do what I know to do, and that is take a hammer and screw to things and, you know, see if I can get that little plug up. Yeah, I don't know. I was just fooling around in there. And it's got one of those, like, the kind you twist, like the plug that you twist. It's attached, and you twist it and push it down, and you twist it and pull it up.
Okay.
Not like a like an independent plug. It's actually attached to the whatever the drain, whatever the fuck that's called. So I unscrew the drain. And I look down there, and I can see, like, something purple down there, but it's a little dark. So I take a screwdriver, and I can't even get the screwdriver down there, but it feels spongy. So I take the screwdriver, and I kind of scrape along the sides. And what do I pull up? 150,000 hair ties is what I pull up. I pulled up an entire ball. And I'm talking, like, a ball that was, like, 6 inches big. Of hair ties.
Hair ties. Okay.
Hair ties.
I was going to say hair, and you were right. It was adjacent.
Your hair is everywhere. Remember that Dashboard Confessional song? Your hair is everywhere.
Yep.
Hair is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Between Astrid, the girls, and that fucking dog, that hair is everywhere. Because, of course, we got to give Blue a bath every 15 seconds because she's a mess, too. That dog. So I've decided, people have written in. People wrote in, and they said, hey, listen, go to the vet. There are medications that can help with this. And I responded to some of them. Listen, I think we've been through
the
of the medications, but I certainly will go back to the vet and I'll have a conversation with them. The dog is on Prozac, doggy Prozac, low dose Prozac. And we have it on a pharmacy, like an automated online pharmacy that sends it. So the other day I go to give Blue her medication like I do every night and there's no more medication. So I tell Astrid, I said, hey, you know, there's no more medicine. She's like, oh, no, we buy it from the pharmacy. I'm like, listen, it's not there. Astrid goes and does a little investigation to find out that the online pharmacy and many pharmacies locally are out of Prozac. There's a Prozac shortage. Remember how all the prices were going to go down and everything was going to be available for us? The eggs are $5,000 a dozen and there's no more Prozac for my dog. So things are going really well. So no more Prozac for the dog. So I say, okay, this is it. This is the jumping off point. Let's take Blue off of Prozac, right?
Yeah, let's go cold turkey.
Let's go cold turkey, which I know can be dangerous. I understand we're keeping a close eye on Blue. And here's how I know things are not going so well for Blue. Because every third step in this house, I am stepping in pee. Blue is peeing, literally walking and peeing around the house. And I am absolutely done with it. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm throwing my hands in the air. I'm making a plea to the gods. Please find me a solution to the craziness that is Blue. I can't do it any. I don't know what
to
do.
Is there doggy Xanax?
There is doggy Xanax, but that makes me feel a little bit bad. Like, I know Prozac also has an effect on her brain, but Prozac is like an antidepressant. Xanax is a depressant.
What about the effect on your brain?
Yeah.
Maybe you need Xanax.
Yeah. I think that might be the solution. Xanax, I'll take the Xanax and we'll let her continue to be crazy. Yeah. Maybe I'm the one who needs to chill out.
Yeah.
I am irritated so much by all the barking. But now Chrissy is irritated by the barking too. Tina's only been here for 2 days and she's already irritated by Blue. Even Noemi, who is like the most calm, gentle person you have ever met in your entire life. Like, when I say sweet lady, I mean sweet lady. She came to me last week and she goes, Brian, I don't know about Blue.
I heard her say that.
I think there's something really wrong with her. And I'm like, oh, you just noticed? You've been with us for 8 years and you're just noticing now that something's wrong with Blue? And she's like, no, but seriously, I really feel bad because she's really crazy. And
yes,
I'm like, I know. That's her on Prozac. That is her on medication. What do we do? I don't know. I mean, I throw my hands up in the air at this point. I have no idea what to do. But
there's an imbalance somewhere.
Yeah, but Chrissy,
I grew up with a dog exactly like that, and it will drive you insane. And there's, you know, it's the dog, and you love the dog.
Of course.
You know, you want to help the dog. The dog seems agitated.
The dog seems anxious.
Extraordinarily
anxious. And anytime there's any movement of any kind, any talking of any kind, mm-hmm. any anticipation that food might be coming, anything a dog would normally not get so upset about, she just goes on a barking spree. Or she twists and turns, or she jumps on the couch, or she runs out in the mud, or she shits on the floor. It's like she is so anxious. And so we use these pads around the house because, of course, Blue is so crazy that she won't even go outside to go to the bathroom. I mean, sometimes she does. But we tried to housebreak her. And I know that small dogs are hard to housebreak. Like, I also understand that mm-hmm. that's just part of the nature of having a small dog. So we put these pads around the house. Sometimes we'll go through 15 in a day. In a day! We don't even go through that many diapers in a day. It's insane. How do you pee 15 times in a day? And so then I thought, oh, you know, sometimes we think, oh, maybe she has a urinary tract infection.
Yeah,
we've gone down that road before too. Nope, no urinary tract infection. It's just a function. It's just a cause that the causation must be anxiety. It must be some form of anxiety. So what do we do? I don't know. I don't know anymore. I officially throw my hands up in the air to the gods and I say, let what happen may happen. I'm going to leave the front door open and hope that nothing bad occurs.
I still think you need to investigate the Xanax part. The doggy Xanax. They've got to have it.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And it's a controlled substance and it's a big deal to get it from. The doctor told me a long time ago when he put her on Prozac. He said, listen, this is one step before we have to get into like the super controlled mm-hmm. substances like Xanax. And he goes, that is certainly a solution. But just understand that is a depressant. It is going to change the dog's personality, no doubt about it. But I think you might be right at this point. It's either the humans or the dog. One of us has got to be sane. One of us has got to be calm and sane. Like, I went and meditated today for the first time in, I don't know, 3 months. I felt so good after I got back.
It is.
I pull up to the house. I'm happy, go lucky. I'm listening to our podcast and I'm like, yeah, we can be funny at times. I'm so excited about life.
Yeah, we can be funny at times.
Yeah, hey, we are funny sometimes. I'm feeling kind of optimistic about life. You know, maybe eventually we will have listeners. I feel good about myself. I'm like, it's not so bad. 700 episodes in, we can crack a few jokes. We're getting the hang of this. I know how it goes. And then I open the door and I'm met with chaos, absolute chaos. And there's nobody home but me. It's just me and Blue barking incessantly at me about what I don't know. I'm like, Blue, what? What do you want? What's going on? What's in your head? The other day, she was in here and she was laying down and she was being so sweet and so calm as she can be. And so I got down on the floor and I pleaded with her. Mm-hmm. I said, Blue, I love you. You know I love you. I brought you home in my little arms. You tiny little thing fit in one hand. You didn't speak for the first 10 days that we owned you, I did not hear a peep out of that dog, not one thing. And I said, can we just agree to be friends and to be quiet? Like, I'll be quiet if you could be quiet. I will stop yelling at you if you stop yelling at me. Not but 2 minutes later, she walked out of the room after we had this little moment. And I, and,
after you,
know,
you had the moment.
After I had a moment. I have a Disney moment. I'm not projecting a human personality onto this dog. And so I go, oh, well, yeah, you know, I felt good about that. I was like, okay, you know, Blue knows I love her. She heard me. I walk out of the room. I smell shit. She's shit in the hallway. She shit in the hallway. We had a conversation.
Oh my God.
She went and shit in the hallway. She was like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, Brian. What are we going to do? Life is chaotic.
I'll show you what good friends we are.
Yeah, I can't watch TV. Everything's just chaotic right now. The whole situation is chaotic. And so, but anyway, because she gets so messy, we often have to give her baths too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of baths. And while she doesn't shed, she's a Yorkie, so she doesn't shed. If you put her into a bath, hair will fall off of her. She gets that winter coat sometimes. Mm-hmm. That winter coat.
But now she's shedding because it's 75 degrees in Atlanta.
Hey,
two weeks after it snows.
Fake spring is here and it's in full effect. I was talking to somebody else about this. I mean, weather is the lowest form of conversation, but we got 7 hours to fill this week. So let's give ourselves a break. I was talking to somebody who was in Philadelphia, I think, Boston or Philadelphia, and emailing with them. And they were explaining to me that it was a balmy 36 degrees up there after they had experienced incredibly cold temperatures for a long time.
Yeah.
So he was sharing with me that it's not that bad. Like 36 feels pretty good. And I walked outside with a short sleeve shirt on. I could have been wearing shorts. One of my kids went to school in shorts the other day. It's fucking February 3rd.
It was February 3rd.
What's that?
It's that warm.
It's that warm. Mm-hmm. We call this fake spring in Atlanta, and it'll happen probably 2 or 3 weeks before we get to April. We'll have fake spring where it gets really warm. It feels good. You can almost smell the flowers blooming, you know?
Well, I know they start to bud.
Yeah, they start to bud. Mm-hmm. You get that smell, like the grass starts to like wake up a little bit. So you get that springy smell and it feels really good. You start to think about, you know, where you're going to, which beach you're going to go to.
Planting a garden. Yeah,
you get fever.
Your stuff.
Yeah. Brian's skin starts to turn darker instantaneously. I'm like, I could get in. I don't have to go to the tanning bed. I can just stand out here. I'm feeling good. I look at that pool, which is incredibly clean because I'm not the one cleaning it. I look at that pool and I go, a few more weeks, we'll be out in that pool. And then next week, -2. It's going to be -2. Two more snow days before it's all over. But it is really, this is what I enjoy about Atlanta. Some people like to say, they say, hey, listen, you don't like the weather, wait a couple of hours and it'll change. It's an old joke. And they say it about San Francisco. They say it about Seattle. They say it about almost anywhere that you can say that because the weather is unpredictable by nature. Not even the weathermen get it right. So it's unpredictable by nature. But in Atlanta, it really is true that at this time of year, like during the hardcore winter, winter swings in Atlanta. And when it swings in the warm direction, it feels really nice. It's some of the best weather that Atlanta has.
I know.
Our fake
giddiness.
Spring. Yeah. Everybody gets giddy. The tops are down.
I went to the
down.
Park the other day, sat under a tree, read a book.
You did?
Yes.
Who are you?
With the sun shining down on me.
God, you have so much time on your hands.
That was my little meditation moment.
Okay.
So.
All right. Fuck you. You have too much time on your hands. I can't even think about going to a park and reading a book. I'm meditating and I'm doing it quickly so I can get back to my children. You know what I'm saying?
Quick.
Yeah, quick, meditate. Quick. Think of nothing.
Clear your mind.
Be still. Quick.
Breathe,
it is what it is.
Breathe.
Yeah. Quick. Hold space for that. Hold space for yourself. Quick. I'm thinking about it quickly. I'm thinking about nothing quickly because I know I got something else to do. That's the problem with having kids is there's never not something to do. Mm-hmm. There's never an empty space. There's never a dead moment. it's always filled by some activity. So when you do get a chance to do things like go meditate, you really do have a stack of things behind your mind. It's like, which bill didn't I pay? What time do I have to pick the kids up from school? Who's going to be sick tomorrow? Where did Blue shit in the house, which I know I'm going to come home to?
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. It is one of the nicer weeks that we've seen in Atlanta.
I know.
In a long time. It was very cold. Yeah, I've said this a lot. I just don't care for the cold weather. Yeah, I did my time. I served my time in Chicago for the first 12 years of my life. And 12 winters in Chicago is enough for anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm done with it.
I didn't grow up in the cold, and I'm good with not being in it either.
Yeah, I took to the warm weather like a person who had been born in Florida, honestly.
Yeah.
I wish I could live in Florida, but it's not a great state to live in.
And that's that.
And da-da-da-da-da-da. I'll be here all week. Catch us at the Daniel Point Improv tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, whatever happened to that? Oh, I don't know. Just another idea.
We wrote it in the notebook.
That's the notebook, and that's what happened. More information to follow in the fall. In the fall. Somebody wrote in the other day, when are you coming down to Florida? And I said, for vacation? Because I'm not going for those live shows. Okay, I'll give it an explanation. While we have just a minute here, I'll give an explanation. We have chosen to press pause on the live shows just for right now. It was a lot when we were planning to do the other shows, and because I don't need to get into everything. I had my surgery. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling better. And I think it's okay just to take a beat here for a second and not go back into a ton of stress and extra work. We just got done with the 38 days of TCB. We're planning the next 38 days of TCB.
Yep.
And more information on that. It's our fifth year anniversary. There's a lot going on, and it doesn't feel like it's a good idea to throw additional live shows on top of that. Though we are planning them. We're not going to do them in spring. So if you're looking for that conversation, there it is. We are not going to do them in spring. We told the promoter we're just going to press pause, take a beat,
regroup.
And then regroup, and we'll get back to him in 2027. 2027. Daniel Point, 2027. If our democracy is still around when, we're functioning as a society, Chrissy and I will think about Daniel mm-hmm. Point in 2027. All right. I will now finally tell part of the wedding story from Spain when we get back from this break. Why don't we do this? Let's take a short break. I'll regroup, fix a wire I can see. I can hear is causing a problem. And then, we'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
Last we left off with my conversation about the wedding in Spain, I think I was walking my child through an incredibly rainy night. Remember, I told you that we went to this. So for those of you that don't know, I ended up going to Astrid's family wedding in Spain, which was just incredible. Mm-hmm. Like the whole scene was incredible. It was in Sevilla. So it was in the south of Spain, in the southwest of Spain. Like, literally, you can take a boat over to Africa from close to Sevilla, right? So we go to this, I would call it a rehearsal dinner. I don't think it was really the rehearsal dinner, more like a rehearsal party. Mm-hmm. And it was in this huge facility sitting on the main river that runs through town. This huge event facility, restaurant, whatever, had been cleared out. Absolutely beautiful. So the kids were just having a great time, as kids do in situations like this. It's way past their bedtime. We're in a completely different time zone. Kids are running all over the place, and there's lots of kids. And my kids were just tearing up the place. I mean, literally running from one end to the other, driving themselves insane. But the baby, the youngest of them, is just a baby. That's what she is. She's less than 2 years old. She has a schedule. That schedule has now been all kind of fucked up. We've had a long plane flight. We've had a long drive from Madrid. It's a whole thing in a small car. You know, there's nothing big in Spain. There's nothing. There's no vehicle that's big in Spain.
No.
So to get as many kids as I have. Yes. And then I had to park.
In a tunnel.
I had to park in a tunnel. But I didn't park in that tunnel. The guy who owned the parking lot, it's like a family-owned business. In Sevilla, if you have ever been, when I say cobblestone streets, I mean cobblestone streets.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say built for horses, I mean one horse. The body length of the body width of one horse. These buildings are so close to each other. But yet cab drivers go up those streets all the time, the local cab drivers. You know the difference between a local cab driver and a tourist in Sevilla? The tourists get stuck in between two houses, and the cab drivers skillfully maneuver around. They know which way the streets go. They know which streets they can go up and down.
Sure, yeah.
We stayed at an Airbnb, like a rent-a-condo, right? Which was absolutely beautiful, right downtown. Courtyard in the middle, just a lovely place. We rented a couple of these for some of the family members. But it was in a Y, like a street that was a Y. It was two streets that came together and then two streets went apart. The building was in the middle. Those streets were so thin that on four, not one, four different occasions, I had to look out the window because I heard the sound of...
That's like out of the European Vacation movie.
Oh, Chrissy, it was crazy. There was this one lady, and I don't know... We didn't talk to her, so I have no idea where she was from. But she was driving like a Volkswagen something, and she was scraping both sides of her car along the brick of the buildings, and she just kept going.
Yeah.
She was just
determined.
The crazy thing is, she opened her window to pull in the mirror. She was doing tens of thousands of dollars of damage to the side of the car, but she had to make sure that the mirror didn't get messed up.
Did the car that you rent, too, have a scrape on it?
Oh, this car, yes. I had to take 50 pictures because, you know, when I rented the car, it was a whole thing. I already told the story, but when I rented the car, it didn't work and we needed a bigger car and the girl got the bigger car and she was so sweet about it. But then when she pulled the car up, I got out of the car to put one of my children in the car and noticed... On the passenger side, there was a scrape. I don't mean a scrape. I mean a scratch, probably 6 inches high along the entire side of the car. And now I know why, because they were in Sevilla trying to navigate around apartment buildings. And in Spain, if you have a scratch that is bigger than a nickel, you will be charged for the damage, period, end of sentence. Not like here in America, you can get scrapes. I think you can total a car here in America. And as long as you opted for insurance, they don't give a shit. It's just part of the game here. But there, they take it very seriously. They have rulers. They will come out and measure to see how big the scratch is. I know, because my first time in Spain, I got charged like $3,000 for scrapes on the car. That I didn't realize were there and probably were there when I rented the car. But I had in America, you don't think about anything like that. You get in the car and you go. Yeah. You don't fucking worry about scrapes and all that shit. The car is scraped. You just take it for granted that the car is fucked up. And if you fuck it up more, it's not really going to matter to the guy at the lot. Anyway, when I get to Sevilla, we had prearranged parking. Astrid smartly prearranged parking 2 blocks from the condo. So, of course, then I got to lug all the luggage all up this hill on cobblestone streets. But when I pulled into that parking lot, it was down underneath a building in a tunnel. And when I say a tunnel, I mean, think of like, picture Gladiator the movie, where they keep the fighters.
The Colosseum.
Yeah, they keep the tigers waiting.
In the bottom.
Yes, that's what it looked like. And honestly, it's probably worse. But this was a family-owned place. How do we know that? Because we talked to the owner. The second that I pull into this tiny little place, there's like 50 cars in this basement. I don't see any place to park. And even if I did see a place to park, I wasn't going to be the one. I already knew that I could not maneuver around this parking lot. I understood it. And so did the guy who owned the parking lot. Because when I pulled in, he got out. He got out of his little like cubby and he came around and gave me this number. And he said, I'll do it. in English because he knew I was a gringo. He yes. already knew. He said, I'll do it for you. I said, thanks, man, because I have no fucking clue. So we go to this rehearsal dinner. Everybody's, you know, getting kind of tired. Everything's wrapping up. And some people are going to go off and they're going to party. But not me, because we have kids and right. they got to get to sleep. And I'm not going to take these kids out to a club. Doesn't matter where they are. The kids are an excuse for me to go home and be in my underwear. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to go back to that condo and I'm going to watch the rest of Shogun or whatever I'm watching.
Yes.
So everyone's standing in a taxi line, waiting for the cabs outside this place. And it's starting to drizzle just a little bit, just a little drizzle. I look at the weather. I see that, you know, it's just a little passing rain shower. There's some rain behind it, but it's just a passing rain shower. And I say, don't, there's like everybody's getting into these Ubers, but and these taxi cabs, but there they don't have like children's seats. They don't have child seats and you don't have, you know, put them on your lap or whatever. Even though there's some laws around it, when you have an Uber or a cab, you don't necessarily need to do that. So Astrid's like, oh, I'll take these kids, you take that kids, blah, blah, blah. You take the baby, I'll take the baby, whatever. I said, you know what? It's only a 15, 20 minute walk. I'm just going to walk.
Yeah.
Just let me walk.
Why not?
On the way home, I'll pick up some food at a local Mercado. How's that for your Spanish
Mercado,
right there?
Stick yes.
that in your funkin' Wagnalls. And so I say, let me go. I'll just take the kid on a walk. It's the middle of the night. It's drizzling. I really have no idea where I am. The cobblestone streets are really confusing. I have to go over this bridge over the river. And so the first thing I do is I start walking. I take a left. I'm going over this very large bridge. A lot of people out walking. And within 5 minutes of starting that walk, it starts to pour. The sky opens up. And now I'm pushing a 1.5-year-old in the middle of the night in Sevilla, Spain. It's a little chilly. And now it's pouring down rain. And Brian is ultra prepared because I have no umbrella and the stroller has no coverall.
Oh, great.
So I and
you're going over the cobblestone streets.
I'm wearing a 3-piece suit. I'm wearing a fucking suit. So and nice shoes. Like now I'm like fuck. And there's
Astrid drives by. Beep beep.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not really.
Astrid's texting me. She's like, "Are you sure you don't want us to come pick you up?" But Brian, because Brian refuses to be wrong about anything, it's like, "Nope, it'll pass. I'm just going to stop in that grocery store and stay there." Well, my baby and I stop in that grocery store, to which everybody in the grocery store looks at me like I'm a fucking moron. I got a child in a stroller. Everything is sopping wet. There's literally a puddle in the stroller. The baby is swimming in the stroller now. Brian is dripping down wet, full suit on. So what do? I take off my jacket and I put it over the child's head. So now I've covered my little baby with a jacket in the store.
Jacket.
Yes, the wet jacket in the store. The baby's crying because now she's got a jacket over her head. She can't see what's going on. I'm standing at the front of the store.
Why did you put the jacket over
I don't know. Her head? I thought, I don't want anybody to see her wet. I want to stay myself. I have video of this. I swear to God, it's true. I have the jacket over. Well, I thought, I'm going to make a run for it. I look on the weather app. I can see. It doesn't look like there's much rain, but it's pouring down rain. So there's like 5 or 6 of us that are standing in the store, in the opening of the store, you know, just waiting. And so one of the ladies at the store comes over with a towel. It's like, do you want this for your baby? And I go, yeah, sure. I take the. I thought she meant to put it over. So I took the jacket off and threw the towel over.
You just replaced the towel with the jacket.
Yes, and the lady's like, no, no, and she starts
wiping.
Yeah, she starts wetting. She starts drying the baby off, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, all right.
I could do that.
Yes, for sure. So. I'm standing there. It's pouring down rain. 5 minutes goes by. 10 minutes goes by. Now I'm in a square, like a square. There are no cars around because we're in a square. It's a pedestrian square. Mm-hmm. So me and these people are just standing there, and there is a
even your suit.
I'm drenched. I'm drenched. I'm cold. I'm shivering. The baby is like looking at me. She's like, "What are we doing?" And I go, "I don't know. I'm sorry, kid. I got you in this. I'll get you out of it somehow." So there's a guy. I'm assuming he was Chinese. He was standing next to me, and he starts speaking to me in like broken Spanish, right? And I start speaking to him in broken Spanish, and he says, "I think he's saying to me, 'Where are you going? I have an umbrella. I can help you
get there,
get where you're going.
Okay, that was nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. And I said, sure, I'm going, you know, norte. I'm going north. I'm going up this way.
I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, I really don't, by the way. And when you're in
Sevilla. Go north.
Yeah, when you're in Sevilla, Google Maps cannot be counted on. Not when you're walking.
No,
it's too difficult.
No, it
yeah.
is.
It already took us 3 hours to find the parking lot because Google Maps couldn't tell us. We had to keep on going down one-way streets. We couldn't figure out how to get there. So I say to the guy, I say, yeah, yeah, I'm going this way. I kind of point. I'm going north. I'm going norte. And he says, okay, you know, me too is what he said to me. And I, at least that's what I thought he said to me. So he pops open his umbrella and we're like, vamos. All right, let's go. And he's like holding the umbrella over himself and over the baby. And I'm pushing from behind. And as soon as we get out of the store, he turns right and I turn left. He goes walking down the other. I was like, bye. Thanks.
Thanks for walking me out.
Buenos noches. And now I'm back in it. And now I'm committed. So back to the coat. I throw it over the baby. And now I'm running through the square on the cobblestone. That poor baby is just like shaken and stirred, freezing cold, sopping wet. Everything's wet. I can feel my socks are squishy. We get up through the square. We get about halfway home. And I'm like, okay, all right, I submit.
Surrender.
I surrender. So I flag down a taxi cab. And the guy goes, where are you going? And I give him the address. And he goes, I'm sorry, I can't drive up there. Because the streets are so small. And I'm like, well, all right. So I look at my baby and I said, we're in it now, kid.
Yeah.
We got to go. In for a penny, in for a pound. Here we go. It took us another 20 minutes to get home. It did not stop raining. Get back to the house. It did not stop raining the entire time. By the way, we stopped for groceries at the the store that was very close. Very small store. And I just brought in this sopping wet stroller. I'm sopping wet. I'm making a mess through the entire store. I'm buying some bread and some meat and, you know, some stuff for the kids to have for breakfast. And I go to put it under the stroller. It's got like one of those, you know, carriers under the stroller, every stroller does. I go to put it in the stroller and it is just a pool of water. I got to like kick the water out. The bread is sopping wet by the time we get home. Oh, that poor baby. I put it right in a warm bath.
Yeah.
So the next night is the next day is the wedding. The wedding is in the main cathedral in downtown Sevilla, which is, it's a famous cathedral, world famous cathedral. People just, they go to Sevilla just to see the cathedral. It really is beautiful. It's huge. It is like something out
That's
of
the
a
way
movie.
It is a lot of places in Europe.
A lot
too.
Of places
yeah,
have very beautiful
see.
Churches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a place that the first time I ever went to Spain, my future in-laws at that time, they, and my mother-in-law's, or my, excuse me, my father-in-law's sister and her husband, they took us on like a 10-day journey around Spain and into the Pyrenees Mountains. And that's where I was at the ski chalet playing,
yes.
you know, Home Sweet Home.
Yes.
But when they did, we went and we stayed at decommissioned castles that were sold to a private hotel company in a public-private partnership with the government. And the hotel company made these castles into hotels. There's so many castles. And so many of them were in bad shape because they didn't get taken care of because the families had long since left them. They don't live there anymore.
The taxes.
Yeah, the taxes
the
and
upkeep,
all the all the upkeep and stuff like that. So this is a really good idea that the Spanish government had. And I think it's done throughout Europe now. But we stayed at this series. But anyway, every town that we went to, small and large, without fail, we went to a cathedral in every one of those towns. Mm-hmm. And this would normally, if you told me 10 years ago, Brian, you're going to go to Spain, you're going to take a tour of the cathedrals, I would have been like, the fuck are you talking about? Oh my God, I don't care about the cathedrals. You care about the cathedrals when you get
do.
There.
They're
because
very beautiful.
They're beautiful. The art in them and
the history.
Yeah, and the history. Forget the religion and all the bad stuff that the religion has done. They're just beautiful places and they're older than dirt. I mean, some of them. Mm-hmm. So this cathedral is huge, very famous. I want you to picture 3 football fields by 3 football fields. This is how big this cathedral complex is. And the inside of the cathedral is almost just as big. But the main cathedral is like, you know, 100 feet in the air, stained glass windows, light coming in.
Sounds amazing.
It's just, it's something out of a novel. It's unbelievably amazing. But then they have a street trolley that rides outside one side of the cathedral, the main entrance. There's a street trolley that goes up and down with a road, a like the main road through the middle of Sevilla. So we get to the cathedral. Some of my children are going to participate in the wedding. I am really hoping they're going to be on their best behavior. I am hoping this is not the reason that everybody talks about my, you know, I'm hoping they're young. So I'm just praying.
It's a wild card.
It's a wild card. Are they going to behave? Are they going to make noise? Or am I going to get them to sit still? Is this baby going to be quiet? You know, I don't know. Well, the answer was no. The baby was not going to be quiet. The baby went apeshit the second that we got there. So rather than interrupt everybody's not very beautiful wedding, which it was, I, as soon as the bride walked down, I took the baby, I went outside, I put her in the wet stroller, and we walked around the cathedral. That's what we did for like the end part of the wedding. As the wedding is wrapping up and people are walking outside, I noticed that there's like a little bit of a crowd that's gathering outside of the main entrance. There's like a, I don't know how to explain it. There's a door that the cathedral is raised off the streets, so there's like 5 or 6 steps that you have to go down to get to the street level, where then there's this trolley that goes up and down.
Yeah, I can picture that.
Okay. So there's people coming outside. They're waiting for the bride and groom taking pictures, all that good stuff. They're standing outside of the main entrance, and all of a sudden, all of these tourists are now taking pictures of everybody dressed to the nines in their 3-piece suits and their beautiful dresses, and you know the kids that are coming, the flower girls, and you know some of my kids. People are now starting to take photographs because this is becoming quite a picturesque scene.
Yeah.
It's the main cathedral. It's a beautiful place. And now you have a wedding with everyone dressed to the nines right outside the front door. So people are taking pictures. So I'm walking the baby back and forth on this elevated platform. That's probably a football field long, watching everybody come out, watching a little bit of a crowd gather, watching more and more of a crowd gather, watching more and more of a crowd gather. By the time the bride and groom came out, there may have been 500 or 600 people standing in a big group outside down on the street level, taking pictures of everybody taking pictures for the wedding. The bride was beautiful. The groom was beautiful. It was like something, you know, straight out of a television show, and everybody wanted to take a picture of it. It got so congested with people that the traffic had to stop and the trolley had to stop. The train in town had to stop because people were so excited about someone coming out that had just gotten married in this cathedral that the entire town had to stop. It was so
wild,
such a big deal that the local news stations showed up at some point, and this was on the news the very next morning. It was crazy to me, like how it, you know, kind of cool and you know, exciting that everybody got about this. So okay, so we take some pictures. You know, we're kind of like extended family members. So you know how you are when you're an extended family member. You're not really that important. They invited you because you know they like you. But
yeah, they want you there to celebrate.
But you're not in
the
like
pictures.
Yeah, you're not. Well, they did take a couple pictures.
No,
with
I
us,
know, but not the main ones.
Yeah, I know my place. I'm not like inner circle. I'm just a moron. I'm just a gringo that's married to someone they care about.
Yeah.
Right. So they take a sympathy picture. It'll never be in the wedding album, but it's there. They'll send it to you digitally and let you know that you were part of the wedding. After all the pictures are done, the bride's father says, "Okay, everybody, we're going to the next place." By the way, the wedding is at 3 p.m. It's now 4:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. There's going to be cocktails served at 5 p.m. and then there's going to be dinner at 7 p.m. Right? This is an all-day affair.
Of
this
course.
Is a Venezuelan wedding. There is going to be no stop to it. We are in part one of the 7-part wedding, and I understand I'm in for the long day. So he says, "We're moving on to the next place. Follow me." And I thought to myself, "Oh, great. We're just going to walk to wherever the reception is. That sounds wonderful."
And it's not raining.
Beautiful day.
Yes.
Sunny. I was dry. I had managed to get my shoes polished. You know, the baby did not catch pneumonia as I assumed that she would. So he says, follow me, and I'm a following. I'm like, all right, here we go. We're going to get some food. We're going to get some drink. I'm going to get these kids squared away, and you know, we're going to have a fun night tonight. But that wasn't the way it all went down.
It was not to be.
No, it was not to be. And I'll explain why after we get back from these messages, because, of course, we do have to pay the bills because my daughters are going to get married in Spain someday, and it's expensive. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you can make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Yeah, so I made the assumption that we were just going to walk to like a local like restaurant or facility, right? I didn't really know what the situation was. I hadn't been told previously what we were going to do.
You're just following along.
Yeah, but now, you know, after the chilly, rainy night the night before, now it is 80 degrees. I'm wearing a full suit. Kids are in their dresses and their full suits. Astrid's in her nice dress. And now we have to take a mile-long walk. Not to the facility, but to catch buses that take us to the facility. Now, listen, no complaining here. I understand that, you know, these buses couldn't pull into... If these buses had pulled into town, it really would have caused a commotion.
Yeah.
Because these were, like, full-on tour buses is what they were. Mm-hmm. Not the tour buses like the bands have, but, you know, tour buses like you see on
like
the road.
Yeah, you're going on a tour.
Yeah, like a Greyhound bus, but, you know, nice ones. Greyhound bus without the crackheads. You know what I'm saying. So we have to walk this mile to get to this street corner. Then we have to pass over this incredibly busy street. Then we all have to fit into these tour buses that then are going to take us to this location. I have no idea where we're going. I mean, Sevilla is a big town, but it's not like the world. It's not Madrid. It's not Barcelona.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, well, if we have to get, we're right here in the middle of town. If we have to get on a bus, where exactly are we going? So we stuff everybody in the bus, all the kids, you know, babies, nap time, so the baby's going crazy. You know, everyone's going crazy. And we're on these buses. And so I say to the kids before we leave the church, I say, you got to go pee? Meow. You sure you don't want to go pee-pee? Meow. We got to walk. Meow. Okay, I'm just telling you, there's not going to be a place to go pee-pee for a little while here. We're going to have to walk somewhere. So if you guys got to go pee-pee, let's go in the church. Let's go right now. No, I'm going to go pee-pee. The second we get in that bus, the second those doors close, one of my daughters, who was notorious for that.
Daddy?
Yes? And I already know by the way she's saying it.
Daddy got to go pee-pee.
You got to go what?
I didn't hear you.
Pee-pee.
No, what?
Pee-pee. I gotta go pee-pee.
I know.
I told you to go pee-pee before we left the church. Why didn't you go pee-pee when we go to the church?
I didn't have to go then.
You didn't have to go 3 minutes ago? Now you have to go now?
I have to go now. Do you have a pee-pee on the bus?
No, they don't have pee-pee on the bus. They don't have pee-pee on a bus, babe. There's nothing you can do. Now you gotta wait. Now we're in it. I don't know. We could be gone for hours. I don't know. I told you to go before we go. So now I'm concerned that one of my daughters is gonna have an accident. And I think we have a change of clothes, but I think it's under the bus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm worried now there's going to be dribble all over the bus and I'm going to be responsible. By the way, I just want to let you know this. Let me share this little piece of information and connect some TCB history with you. The same father of the bride, is the same man who this child spilled grape juice all over his yacht.
In Miami.
So now I'm like, holy shit. Here we go again. She's about to ruin more fabric. This is all going down. I'm now going to be responsible for yet another vehicle.
You're sweating even more.
Oh, my God. Chrissy, I'm profusely sweating. I'm a sweater. I'm sweaty. I'm a spritzer. Yes, I'm spritzing. But not only that, but now I'm like holding the baby, trying to get her to take a nap, because if she doesn't take a nap, the whole world's going to fall apart. And I'm like, please take a nap. Please take a nap.
Well, rock-a-bye, yes. Baby.
Oh, rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop.
Sweat is pouring. Oh,
sweat is pouring down. She's wet again. It's raining again. She's sweating again. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, and she's looking at me and she's like,
relief.
Sweet relief. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Because I know she's not going to go to sleep with a shitty diaper. I just know my daughter. She's not going to sleep with a shitty diaper. So I got a daughter that's doing the pee pee dance in the seat next to me. I got my 7 foot tall daughter in my arms, legs sticking out in the aisle, full of shit. And I'm like, oh God. Why me? Why me? Why can't I have a normal life? Why can't I be like all these other people on the bus that are drinking and having fun? Right. No, not me. I got a handful of shit.
Yeah, it's a big shit. Celebration, yes. Party bus.
Yeah, party bus, exactly. It's not a party bus for too long, because pretty soon I think people around are like, and you know, you can say it's the baby, but that's like blaming your fart on the dog. Yeah, it was the dog. Yeah, sure. Okay, got it. Brian, pee pee boo boo. Does Brian have to go pee pee boo boo? It's the baby. Okay, all right. That baby looks a little big to be wearing diapers. She's just big. I don't know what to tell you. She got it from her mother. It takes us about 30 minutes to get to this. Oh. 25 minutes to get to this facility. We end up in like a residential area, and I'm quite confused about what's going on. There's like this big bush, like, you know, these huge bushes around this gate, and, you know, you can't see anything, but all I see is like apartment buildings and houses around it. I'm thinking to myself, where are we going? I guess we're going to a house, like somebody's house. And we walk through, you know, everybody's getting off the bus. Now I'm quickly getting off the bus because I got problems.
Yes, you do.
Yes. And you walk into this place and it is ivy covered walls and like a flower canopy, a beautiful, you know, sign with a waterfall. Like you have to walk through this little bit of a maze to get where you're going, but it's just stunning. Stunning. You know, from walking in the front gate that none of this was cheap mm-hmm. was cheap. This is whatever we're about to see is going to be beautiful. And it was a huge open courtyard with these big tents that have tables under them.
Gorgeous.
It is two older buildings. One of them just an event facility, just a big glass-walled event facility. Inside there's tables. There's a band that's set up. There is a chocolate fountain. I mean, there's food everywhere, drinks everywhere.
To the nines.
It is everything. Opulent. Yeah. The entire thing is opulent. They have chandeliers in the tents. When you have chandeliers in the tents, I mean, beautiful.
Nice touch.
This wedding was so beautifully done, so beautifully appointed. And I'm sure that the bride had a lot to do with this. And I congratulate the bride's father on just... letting that Amex run because it could not have been cheap, but they treated everybody so well. It was so tastefully done. And so we walk into the party after I get everyone situated, after I get all the bathroom checks and all that other shit done, literally other shit done. We go and we walk into the event facility part of this. Now there's another building next door. Looks like an old house. You have to walk up like 10 steps and then it looks like an old house, but no one's going there. We're all going to the place next door that's got this big event facility. The courtyard connects the two with all the tents. So we go into the event facility and we are just being served food after food, drink after drink. I can't even tell you how much food we had. People were passing around plates of all different kind of beautiful Spanish foods, like local cuisine. It was all so good. Oh my God, it was delicious. Iberico ham, tequenos, cheese plates, oysters, all of it, everything, anything you could ever want. And the kids, this is just like Astrid just did this so right. She got together with some of the other moms in the group and they hired a group of babysitters.
Oh,
it was a pro move. Mm-hmm. As soon as we got there, the kids were like literally whisked away to go play and color and play games.
That's key.
Yeah. So Astrid and I had like at least 15 minutes of adult time.
Right.
We were like so happy. We partied. The band was playing. Everybody's dancing. You know, the bride is dancing with everybody. It was really wonderful. I was really happy. I was having a good time. We sat down for dinner. It was a multi-course dinner. It was beautiful. It was lovely. I forgot what I had. I think I had steak. It was just delicious. And then after dinner, so now we're probably like 4 hours into the reception part after dinner is done. Oh, and by the way, the dessert was epic. It was so delicious.
I
asked for seconds. I didn't know some of the people at the table. I stole their dessert when they didn't have it. I said, can I have that? I'm fat and old. And I'm American. We're not used to these sizes. I need my belly full. Right. I had a long night, a long wet night last night. Can you help me out? So after all of the dinner festivities are done, they ask everybody to go stand on the stairs to take a picture. Stand on the stairs of this house to take a picture. It's this huge stairwell. I'm talking like 10, 15 steps up into this house. And everybody, the entire wedding party, everybody who's there goes and stands on those steps. And so they have a photographer. The photographer looks like she's about to take a picture. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Chrissy, a horse, like a huge horse, with the braided hair, a Spanish horse, with the braided hair, or Arabian horse, whatever you call them.
Black, white?
It was
brown?
It was like beige almost, okay, with dark hooves and dark hair.
Yeah.
The hair was braided. The tail was braided. There was a saddle on it. There was a guy dressed like one of the Three Amigos. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right. Like full...
with the gear.
Yes. Yeah. Full Spanish regalia. And that horse... comes out and starts dancing flamenco. Not the guy, the horse. The horse is dancing flamenco. And the guy is on top of him like, music's playing. There's like a speaker playing music. And the horse is up on two legs,
wow,
dancing around, clapping and clacking around. And he's making the horse dance on 2 feet. And I'm like, what? And where in the fuck did I just get dropped? What happened here? We were at a wedding and now we're at a horse dancing? What happened here? But that wasn't the best part of it. The best part of it was behind the horse, after the horse comes out with the guy on top and does a little number, a lady comes out in her full flamenco.
Oh, yeah.
And she starts dancing with the horse, with the guy on top of it. So now there's this coordinated dance going on with the lady and the horse. They're like dancing around each other, and she's got the fan and the clackers, she's doing this whole number, and she's like, you know, seducing the horse with her things, and the horse is bowing to her, and then up on two legs, and then back down, and the guy is, you know, he's got his hands in the air.
That's incredible.
Chrissy, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, I've seen a lot of animal tricks because, you know, I'm just that kind of sick fuck, but I have never in my life seen a dancing horse like this. It was crazy. He's dancing and spinning, and the guy is on top of him, and I don't even know how the guy stayed on top of the horse, and the lady is running around the horse and under his leg, and you know, she's bowing to him and he's bowing to her, and it's this whole regalia that's going on right in front of us. And there's like,
God, I love Spain,
100 of us just mesmerized by
of
what
course.
Is going on.
Yes.
This is like, I don't know whether or not this is we're being pranked, or if this is just one of the coolest things I've seen. Is this traditional wedding fair in Spain? I don't know. Clearly, this is not the first time these people have done this. So
well,
this
right.
act is somewhere else. Like somewhere else they've been practicing this. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I was stunned, amazed, quite frankly. This went on for like 15 minutes. They did this whole dance, and the guy jumped off the horse, and he did a thing with his sombrero.
Did they take the pictures?
The pictures were taken, because the lady was taking the pictures, and then all of a sudden the horse came out of nowhere. Then all of a sudden you hear galloping, like click, 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 because it's all it's cobblestone,
right,
you know, it's brick on the floor. So by the time the horse gets there, you already knew that something big was coming out. And so the lady and the guy, and they take some pictures, and away they go. And then the second part of the party, now all of a sudden they're cleaning up all of the area around the tent, and they're setting up bars outside, coffee bar. They're bringing out an espresso machine. They've got a bar outside. And now the house part comes to life. There is a DJ inside the house The house goes dark, neon lights everywhere, dancing lights. And the second, the last part of the party has officially started, which is let's get crunk. Let's get crazy. People, now listen.
I love this wedding so much.
This wedding was incredible.
I love this wedding.
This wedding was incredible. Now look, I'm a man of a certain age. I'm not old, but I'm not young. I'm somewhere in between those two. And I understand that the people who are getting married are young. They're young people, and they're going to party the night away. I'm not going to be at a younger age, or had I not had children, I might have been right in the mix.
Oh, you would have.
But Oh, yeah, for sure. But
I
would have been that drunk idiot. I would have been the guy they talked about the morning after.
Yes.
Who was that bald guy?
The bald white guy.
Throwing up on everybody's shoes and hitting on everybody.
On the bartender.
Yeah. Hey, did you get his number, too? He gave me his number, too. Hey, listen, it's all about odds. You gotta size it up.
But keep your funnel full.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, the kids, like, now we're talking, it's 10, maybe 11 o'clock at night.
You're just getting going.
They're just getting going.
Right.
But my kids have had no sleep. The baby's still up. All the kids are still up. And the babysitters have a clock out time, right? So we already knew that about 11 o'clock, we were going to either have to bring the kids. But surprisingly, the kids went in and they were partying. You know, they do the Hora de Loca, which is the crazy hour
crazy
in
hour.
Venezuela. And so in the crazy hour, they bring out all kinds of like props and costumes. And so they have, you know, balloons and toys and hats. Oh, you know, you went to my wedding, all this different stuff. So the kids got in on the crazy hour and they went crazy, literally.
So cute.
Yes. It was very adorable. So now they're in there dancing and partying. I'm in there dancing and partying. Everybody's in there dancing and partying. But about 11:30, you know, Astrid and I look at each other, and this is like the most difficult part about being a parent, I think. You'll appreciate this. You want them to enjoy everything that's going on. But you also understand that as the parent in the room, there are consequences to your actions. And the consequences will be that by the time we get them back to the condo, all hell will be breaking loose because they will be tired, they will be hungry again, and they are going to be fussy, no doubt about it. So when do you call a night a night? And Astrid and I have this debate all the time. Astrid errs on the side of let them party. Let them just party until they fall. And I'm of the mind that we have done that before, and it never works out in our favor, ever. Ever. Keep them on schedule. That's or as close to the schedule as possible. Special events like this, of course, you got to let them party a little bit. You got to let them have some fun.
Yeah.
You want them to remember these good times. But if you don't get them to bed at some kind of reasonable, like before 1 a.m, you are going to be, they're still going to wake up at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. They're still going to be up. But we are going to suffer the consequences because they're going to be up and fussy and hungry, and we're going to be tired and fussy and hungry. So we look at each other, and she said, what do you want to do? And I said, I think we got to call it a night. I think we got to call it a night. And then we have this little back and forth like we always do. I feel bad because I feel like I'm stepping on, you know, the fun. I feel like I'm being the fun sponge, and that's not necessarily my personality. And so I, what do you think? I think we should let him stay up. Okay, but I'm just reminding you that last time we did that, we ended up with a dirty diaper against the wall, you know, and kids pulling our hair out. And so we do this little dance back and forth to which we decided 30 more minutes. Let's give it
30 more.
That 30 minutes made all the difference in the world. The 30 minutes caused sheer terror in the household. Sheer terror. Because those kids on the way home went fucking bananas. I rode in the car with my son. Astrid took some of the other kids with her. By the time we all got back to the condo, everybody was screaming bloody murder. Everybody was screaming bloody murder. We were trying to get him into a bath. They wouldn't go into the bath.
No.
We're trying to get him to sleep. They don't want to sleep. We're trying to get him to get some food so their bellies are full. Nothing works out. And they still woke up at 6 a.m. That's the thing. You got to be careful about keeping those kids up past the prescribed bedtime, because you know that the pendulum is going to swing at some point, and you better be a parent. It's the tough part about being a parent. All right. Listen, I'll talk more about this. That's my fluffy version
of it. Please invite me to the next Venezuelan wedding, please.
Yes, I do love a good Spanish wedding.
I've got to go to the next one.
I think you might have an invite. You might have an invite.
All right.
Gustavo's wedding right around the corner. What are we going to do, Gustavo? Chrissy's angling for an invite to the wedding.
Hey, I gave you my seat, Gustavo.
Yeah, that's it. And I do believe I do believe, not to put any pressure on any situation, I do believe there is some conversation about doing that wedding in Spain. So there you go.
Start saving now.
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing. It only costs $25,000 with a family of 12.
What a story. What a fun time.
That's not the...
And I don't have small kids.
Yeah, you don't have small kids.
I'll be partying with everybody.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be in there. Oh, they would have loved you. They would have loved you. Everybody loves you. You know how to party. Yeah, but and listen, that's not all the nitty-gritty details. There's some stuff I'm not going to leave to the imagination. I think there's some funnier stuff. But I really did have a good time, and I don't want to seem ungrateful. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. The hosts were wonderful. We were taken care of every which way. And the place where we stayed was beautiful. And Sevilla is gorgeous. Put it on the bucket list, kids. Put it on the bucket list. Madrid, Valencia, Sevilla, Barcelona, Valencia, Mallorca. There's my list. There you go. Mallorca's number one. If Spain will have us. I think Spain is one of the few places I haven't talked shit about. So there you go. All right. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3822 as our new voice of God, Rachel would say. I want to thank Rachel McGrath
for being our new voice of God.
Thank you for stepping in so quickly and helping us out with the liners. I think we'll keep her.
She's a keeper. Yes.
You can text us questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, but better yet, leave us a short voicemail, and maybe your voice will be the next one to open up the commercial break episodes. We'd love that. So leave us a voicemail. And if you don't want your name said or, you know, whatever, just make sure you know how to do it. Say a fake name. Yeah, say a fake name. We don't care. Who knows?
Yeah.
No one knows.
No.
Make it funny like Sid did. Add the commercial break on Instagram, tcbpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video right there in one location. And youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes on video. Same day they air here on the audio. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
But my friend's getting his hair cut, and then we're going to go to lunch. So we'll be back. Until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.